Lifeless and full of form and fashion, but empty when you leave. Anybody want that anymore? I don't. I want it where God is real in us, like those testimonies today. Zeke sharing his heart. There's breakthrough in that young man's life today. As you step out into places that you're not so comfortable with, you'll find that God empowers you and gives you strength for that same thing or even greater works in the future. Praise the Lord. Well, I think I have a short word here today. Could be famous last words. But if you'll turn with me to the first epistle of John. Today the message is called Knowing Him. Knowing Him. I'm going to start reading at verse 1. That's page 1398. Your Bible? No, in my Bible. It's somewhere towards the back of the book, 1 John is. I know sometimes people go to the Gospel of John, but it's the one just before Revelation. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you, God, for your word. Lord, and I thank you that your word is doing great things in this day. Lord, even as we're reading, Lord, the 90-day challenge, God, I know that you're bringing revelation and understanding, God. You're transforming hearts and minds, Lord, during this 90 days. And God, I pray right now, Lord, that you would send a wind of encouragement, Lord, to those, Lord, who have dedicated and have set out on this quest to go through the Bible. God, I pray that you would give them, Lord, the strength that they need, Lord, the time that they need, Lord, the priority setting mindset that they need, Lord, to finish this journey, Lord, through your word. And God, I pray that you would not let your word return void, as your word says, and you would bring the change that you need. Lord, I just thank you, God, that this word that you've given me today, Lord, it's going to challenge our hearts. Lord, it's going to cause us, Lord, to view you a little different, God, to view your kingdom a little different. Lord, to view who we are in you, Lord, a little different, God. Maybe a lot different for some of us. And God, I pray that what you want to do here today would be completed. God, that you wouldn't let your work be undone, Lord, but it would be a completed work today, God, and we would leave this place, God, changed and with a new understanding of what it means to know you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we have here in the Word, John talking about the Word, and he's talking as if he was right there with him, as he was. And he handled Jesus, I mean, he, you know, laid his head on his chest when they were at a meal one time and it was turned and asked him who was going to betray him. I mean, there was a closeness that John had with the Lord. He had an intimacy. He had a relationship. He was one of the disciples that got to see him in this transfiguration. He got to go into the special places where Jesus would take two or three, and when he raised the young girl from the dead, who his father came and requested him to come, he got to be in the inner circle. So he had a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus. And he's declaring what he knows through that relationship to others. He's saying, that which we have seen and heard, verse 3, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. In other words, you will have a communion with us. You'll have a partnership with us. You'll have a relationship with us in Christ, in God, in the Father. And that's because of the relationship he had with Jesus. He then declared what kind of relationship others could have with him. It wasn't meant for them to just go and say, well, John had a relationship with Jesus, so I'm in fellowship with John. In other words, John had this intimate relationship, and because I know John, I can have this intimate relationship too. And I can have fellowship with John. That's not what John's saying at all. He's saying, because you've heard what we have said and realized that he is the Christ, he's the Messiah, he's the one with eternal life, you go to him, you experience this relationship, and now because of that, we have a partnership in faith. We have communion in faith. Last week, Monday, I was at a pastor's conference, just or care meeting is what it is, but it was about 50 of us from our denomination, and I was asked to speak and share for about 15, 20 minutes. I think I spoke a little longer, but I was trying to communicate to them the day that we're in, and that we don't have to strive, we don't have to fight, we don't have to try to put on some kind of presentation, you know, to please man. All we have to do is come before God and say, here's our hearts, here I am, here we are. Have your way. And it's that simple today. And God starts doing amazing things in that request. We don't need to, you know, go to some mountain and fast for 40 days and 40 nights and hunger and you know, then God's going to come and, you know, do something in us then. He's longing to do something in our simple cries of purity of heart. And in my expression to him, I couldn't really get it all out. And, you know, I was done. I was like, empty for words. You know, I wasn't able to really say what I wanted to say. So we were back at Gay's parents' house, and we were having a meal. And I started thinking about something. And I said, you know what we do? And I like to investigate myself. I like to introspect myself. I like to take inventory. I like to evaluate what I'm doing. Because if what I'm doing is wrong, I don't want to do it anymore. If what I'm doing is going to come to a dead end and lives aren't going to be changed, my life's not going to be changed, I'm going to be just the same old Mike Lindell that I was yesterday because I'm just going through the motions or I'm doing something that has no life in it, then I don't want to continue to do that. Anybody else? I want reality. Jesus says, I am the way, the reality, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. He is reality. Jesus wants us to have such a real relationship with him that really people long for what we have. It's not something that we just get out of a book and we just, you know, cite and quote something to them, and because we're eloquent at speech, people go, oh, I want that. No, it's because there's literally a fire. There's a passion. There's a drive in us for a zest, for a hope and a future that God's given us. Or there's a power that literally brings people out of depression into newness of life. And they want that same thing. And I believe that's what John was declaring to them. But I was going to, you know, tell you this. And I told them at that little dinner we had, I said, you know, what we've been doing as Christians, even as leaders, and I have to say I'm guilty, is that we have tried to take these words on these pages, and, you know, with God's grace, at times we still communicate a truth, but we try to take just these words, declare these words to individuals, and truly, somehow, communicate to them how much God loves them. We try to communicate to them what kind of a divine, loving, graceful being he is. We try to declare an intimate relationship with him through mere words. And mere words are not enough. They are not enough. It would be like this. I know some of you are saying, well, that's what we do. It'd be like this. I have this wonderful relationship with my wife. And I could tell you about my wife. She's a wonderful woman of God. She blesses me. She prays for me. She is the at times wind beneath my wings. I could be having a difficult time and she literally can lift me up. I know. It's a cliche-ish term. Is that what you're doing, Madison? Oh, there we go. I thought it was something I said. Anyway, she encourages me. I mean, you know, not many know this, but I'm going to go ahead and let the cat out of the bag. At night, before I get up the next morning to preach, I go to sleep, and usually her hand is either holding my hand or on my chest, and she's praying for me. And she prays sometimes till I get up. And I get up and she rolls over and she goes to sleep. So, I mean, when you say, that was a great word, Pastor, it's not me. It's God. It's the empowerment that we have as a couple. But if I was to try to just, you know, like I just told you something really amazing about her, because I'm intimate with her. We have a closeness. But if I was to take love letters that she's written me, or grab her birth certificate, or maybe go through her high school manual, or all these things that maybe have been written about her, maybe she has some articles or stuff, and I was to try to take those, and I was to try to communicate through eloquent speech what she means to me through those, I would be so limited at communicating the reality of who my wife is. Now, that's what we've done with God. We've literally made our relationship based on words in a book. Now listen, this is life. This is a living, active word. I'm not digressing from that. I'm not trying to take away. But if we think we're going to have a personal relationship by just reading this book, we have another thing coming. Because we're to have an intimate, close relationship with Jesus Christ. Turn with me, please, now to Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to start reading from verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also may have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. In other words, Paul's saying, you know, don't have confidence in your abilities. Don't have confidence in your own strength. Don't have confidence in your own accolades that you have. Paul says, well, if you're going to have confidence in your own accolades, I will give you some right here. And he says, I was circumcised the eighth day. Of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. In other words, he's citing his accolades. But what things, this is the key here, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. So in other words, these accolades that I have, these, you know, notches on my belt, these, you know, certificates on my wall, I consider those loss. Now, that word loss would mean, let's say you were to go into business with someone and you were to invest $100,000 and you were to, you know, put your blood, sweat, and tears into the time and you know, you try to make this business go and you work it, you know, past the 3 years that a business is supposed to go to break even and it's still not breaking even. And finally, you've reserved, you know, taken your reserves out of savings, you've hawked your house, you've done everything you can, and now you're going to close the business. You just suffered loss. That's what Paul's saying. He's saying, I count everything else as if I went bankrupt. I don't even, in other words, the time that I put into those is not worth it. I can't even use those as accolades anymore. Now listen to this. He says, he does this, why? For Christ. He does this for relationship. He counts those things as loss. Let's go on. Verse 8. Yet indeed, I also count all things. Now, wait a minute, Paul. You're not just talking about your accolades before you were saved. Now you're saying all things, everything you've done? What about like when you went to the Philippian jailer and you know, he bowed down in front of you guys saying, hey, I want to get saved because there was an earthquake and you were praising the Lord. I mean, that's his loss. And he's saying, what about when you were, you know, you could go on and on and on in his life. He's saying all things. That's needs to seek in. For those of you who don't know the Bible, Paul was a great apostle. He went all over the place. He suffered, you know, persecution. He suffered destitute. He suffered hunger. He started many churches. He blessed many regions. He was a powerful man of God. He worked in the glory of God. But he's counting all those things as loss. Now, let's put this into perspective for us. how much are we at times thinking of, well, this is how many times I go to church. This is that we start this calculator of things that we've done for God. You know, I've done this, I've done that, I've done this, I've done that. And we start this out. And because we've got this sheet that's so long, we think, oh, this is good. This is good. I've done these things for God, so I'm in His good graces. I've covered it. I've worked out my salvation. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. And count them as rubbish? In other words, I count them as garbage. I throw them to the dogs. This is not what we think. We think we've done great things for God. I mean, I'm just speaking for myself. I've gone to prayer meetings. You know, I go to 6 a.m. prayer on Wednesday. I get up for Him. You know, we come, Lord. I mean, it's like, you know, we've done these great things. Anybody else start thinking that you've put all these stuff together and that you should be pretty well okay with God and everything's great? And I mean, we're so, you know, doer-based. We're not human doers. We're human beings. And Paul just said, I just want to be with Him. That's what he says here. Listen, I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, that I may treasure Christ, that I may take hold of Christ, that I may have Christ, that I may win Christ. Verse 9, and found in Him, not having my own righteousness, this again, not having my own deeds and, you know, lists of stuff that I've done, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. That means all those lists of things I put together trying to make it so that I'm something is as filthy rags. It carries no weight with God. So somebody says, oh good, then I don't have to do it. That's not really what I'm saying. What I'm trying to say is we cannot in any way have intimate relationship with God by what we do. Right. Whether that be reading the Bible in 90 days. We gain understanding. We can gain truths. We can maybe see God a little bit more. But it's not intimacy. Believe me, I will prove this. Verse 10. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. Now this is what Paul's saying. I count everything as loss, like I've just gone through a bankruptcy. I don't even consider it any kind of value at all for Christ, that I can gain Christ. That, you know what? So that I can know Him. And that word know is the same word that Mary used when she told the angel, how am I going to have a baby if I have not known a man? In other words, if I have not had sexual intercourse with a man, I can't have a baby. And of course, we know that it was a divine seed that was put in her by heaven, and a virgin bore the miracle child, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the same know, that I may know Him. It's an intimate know. It's not a know because I've read about Him in a book. It's not a know because I believe in Him. You know, the demons believe and they tremble because they're judged. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. In other words, His resurrection power working in my life in such a way that it quickens my life. That I'm transformed. I am changed. I am not the same human being that I started out as that day, because He does something in me new in our intimate relationship. And the fellowship of His sufferings. Last week we talked about that his strength is made perfect in our weakness. That in our sufferings, when we allow God, he perfects strength. And Paul's saying, I want to know the power of his resurrection, and yes, the fellowship, the partnership of his sufferings. Not many of us want to say that. But that's part of knowing him. That's part of having that intimacy with him. That close heartbeat relationship. How many of you believe that when John was laying his head on Jesus' chest, that he got to hear the Lord's heartbeat? I bet he did. That's the kind of intimacy that we need, where we hear his heartbeat. We hear his will. We hear his ways. Here I am. Have your way, Lord. Then he says, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his image, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Now, Paul is saying this. Paul was this radical apostle. Paul was this one who should have known Jesus, and he's saying, I want to know him. I'm saying, Paul, don't you know him? He's saying, I don't know him like I want to know him. And that's what we have to say. Is God condemning us for how much we know of him right now? No, not in any way at all. But he wants to know us, and he knows us, but he wants us to know him more. He wants to know that we're chasing after him. He wants to know that we hunger for an intimate, close relationship. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Now, some of you may say, well, Pastor Mike, John, of course, walked with Jesus. Of course he's going to know him. He held him. He laid his head on his chest. He was one of the closest disciples to him. Of course he knew him. And Paul, I mean, Paul was like knocked completely off his donkey, and he was, you know, called as an apostle. He was chasing, persecuting the churches, and Jesus spoke to him directly. Of course he's going to know him. But why do I need to know him? I mean, really, I mean, you know, I'm coming to church. I'm doing what I need to do. I even go to a, you know, prayer meeting every now and then, and some people I hang out with, and we have some coffee together, you know, that are brothers in the Lord or sisters in the Lord, you know, so why do I really need to know him like you're saying Paul knows him, to where I have to, what? I have to suffer? I mean, I can dig the power of his resurrection. Come on now. I mean, who doesn't want power? Everybody wants power. Power to the people, right? What people? But power. We want power, right? Doesn't power sound glorious? Doesn't moving in God's power just sound glorious? To me, it sounds great. But fellowship of his suffering? Now see, that's another story. And that comes with knowing him? Well, maybe I don't want to know him that much. Well, let's see if I can motivate us to really want to really know him. Okay, verse 21 of Matthew 7. Now, keep in mind, this is read, so this means this is Jesus speaking. This is not Pastor Mike speaking. This is Jesus speaking. This is his words. I'm just repeating what he's saying, okay? Don't get mad at me. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. I can agree with that. That's good. Many, verse 22, will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Whoa. We not prophesied in your name, okay. I've prophesied in his name. Cast out demons in your name. Had some parts of that too. And done many wonders in your name. Let's read this again. Verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Well, to prophesy, you've got to have some kind of spiritual drive. Cast out demons in your name. I mean, How could you cast out a demon unless you're in Christ and do many wonders in your name? You know, interesting point. This word wonders here is the word dunamis. We've done many powerful works in your name with the works of, it looks like, the Holy Spirit. And then, verse 23, this is where it gets interesting. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. The same word that Paul says, I want to know him. I want to know him. I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. See, to know him is not just about us becoming something great. To know him is to be his. See, to know who God is and to know him in an intimate relationship. That word know is an intimate relationship. In other words, he's telling them, I didn't know you intimately. You did works in my name, powerful works with the Holy Spirit. Because dunamis power only comes from the Holy Spirit. Cast out demons. Prophesied in my name. But I didn't know you. See, there is a motivation for us to know God. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. I didn't say it. Putting the pieces together today. John is talking about knowing him. And because of that knowing, he declared it to others. That relationship. Just as if I was to start explaining great things about my wife to you. He knew the Lord intimately, personally. And because of that, he was able to declare it to them. Freedom came to their lives. Revelation came to their lives of who Jesus was, that he was the Christ. They were able to walk in a newness of life. Because of that, they had fellowship with each other. Paul, who's saying, I've got all these accolades, I've done everything, you know, that these guys think are great. I've done it. I've one-upped them. But I count it all as loss. As a matter of fact, I count everything that I've done up to this point as loss, except to know Jesus. See, we can come to church every single Sunday, 52 weeks a year, for years and years and years and years. And we could hear tons of eloquent sermons. We could even hear challenging sermons that are by the Holy Spirit. We could even come up to the altar and repent for things that we had done. And we can walk out and we could try to live lives of faith, even where we do works for God. But if we don't know him, it's empty. We can't have a relationship based on someone else's relationship with Christ. Your wife cannot be your ticket to heaven. I don't care how intimate she is with the Lord. I don't care how close they are. I don't care how mighty her prayers are and how wonderful your life is because you have a godly woman. If you're not walking in an intimate knowing of God, then you're out in a dark place. Vice versa, if it's a husband who's seeking God, desiring him, wanting everything that God has for him, has intimacy, has a relationship, walks hand in hand, close to close, and you as a wife are just saying, I'm on the shirt tails, I'm on the coattails of, it doesn't work that way. It's not his relationship gets you there. It's your relationship. It's your knowing. It's your intimacy. We have got to have God open our eyes and show us what intimacy is, real intimacy, because we don't know it. We think singing a song, listening to a worship song on the radio, heading someplace, you know, and just, you know, doing something that looks like it's Christian is intimacy. It's not. Intimacy is knowing him. The power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering. It's where we literally expose every ugly area of our life and we say, this is who I am. Take me. I'm yours if you want me. And he says, I want you. And then you start to have him work in your life and he starts to change and remove and renew your mind and do all the things that he needs to do Not so that you can be a super Christian, but just so you can know him more. See, God wants to do things in us so we know him. We think God wants to do things in us so we can be used by him. No, we know him so we're used by him. See, you can't have it that you do a whole bunch of stuff and then you know him. It's you know him, then you do mighty works for him. And it's glorious to know him. There's nothing more exciting in life, as Paul said, the excellency. In other words, this is the highest priority that I can attain, is knowing him. Nothing better. Nothing. No relationship on earth will come close if we truly know him. No life will be as fulfilled than those who truly know him. No greater joy in the midst of horrible suffering will we have because we know him. Would you stand? Let's just do here I am. Have your way just a little bit. Thank you, Lord. Here we are, God. We're not much. This is all we have. Jesus. Here we are. Here we are, God. Lord, we've heard your word, God, and I, number one, say, God, I need to be more intimate with you, God. I need to know you more. Lord, I want to be like Paul, who just says, you know, I count everything else as just rubbish. I don't think of it as anything to even have value except knowing you. Knowing you, Lord. Knowledge of who you are, God. Not head knowledge, but heart, intimate knowledge. God, where I know your heartbeat. Lord, I pray for every soul, God, that's in this place. Maybe wayward, God, and doesn't know you, Lord. I pray draw them back today. Pray there's a few that you would just grab their face, turn them towards you, and look them in the eye. By your Spirit, fill their hearts, Lord, with that love that comes from you. Thank you, Lord, that you don't condemn us. God, that your word's there to challenge us, God, to draw us to a greater place in you, Lord, a higher level, Lord, of intimacy, God. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that this is the day, God, that you have made. You've prepared this day for us, God. You've set it, Lord, as a table, God. And Lord, we've been banqueting with you, God. I pray that as we leave, Lord, we won't forget, Lord, what you've done in our lives. Have your way, Lord. Here we are, Lord. We're yours, God. Transform and change us, God, to who you want us to be, so that we might know you and the power of your resurrection, God, and the fellowship of your suffering, God. And then we might literally be conformed, Lord, in your image, in your death. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. Praise the Lord.